Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
February 22nd, 2022. This is the date I chose to end things. I figure the date would look cool in an obituary. I have two middle names and a double-barreled last name. Maybe someone looking in the papers would think it was a sign or something. All my affairs were in order. I'd sufficiently given up. I was ready. The last few years have been hell for me. My already dwindling social life was completely shut down during the shutdown. My job finally figured out I wasn't actually any use, and my roommate went on to do bigger and better things. So, there I was, left alone in an apartment I couldn't afford, with a life that had nothing going on. Now, don't get me wrong, I tried, I really did, but life always threw a curveball when I was swinging straight. My last decision now is, how do I do it? What's the way I want to go? My perfect idea was the lake by the hills. Near a main road, not too far from my old house, sits a beautiful lake, one that is surrounded by some grassy hills with small roads that take you into town. The other side is a beautiful front where families gather in the good weather. If you looked at it and said it looks straight out of a catalogue, that's because it is. It was on the cover of the catalogue the estate agent used for the house I'd bought with my fiancée, soon to be wife. Her name was Lucy, and we were meant to spend the rest of our lives together. For months, we'd saved up to move into a house together. The only issue we had was where. We met at uni and loved the sea, and for a long while, we were happy there. However, as the years passed, we started to grow out of what we found fun. The noise that we used to be a part of began to grate on us. The activities moved way too fast for us. We were growing up. Once we realized that we were in the settling phase, that we'd outgrown the student-rich area of our life, we decided to leave the nest. When we found the house in the town near the lake, we did everything we could to get it. We both worked doubles to build up just enough of the deposit. We borrowed help to move. When we were handed the keys, we worked hard to move in as fast as possible. The moving arrangement was simple. Because we were moving from an apartment to a small house, we didn't have heaps of stuff. We had two friends that had small trucks that we borrowed, and our idea was to split up and move them out each until we were done. This is where we had a split in opinion. She wanted to keep the loads minimal, make several trips, and get it done over the course of a few days. But to me, I wanted to get it done as soon as possible. It was a 4-hour drive each way, so to keep going back and forth was a mind-numbing thought. I figured out that with enough straps, we could load all of our stuff on both trucks, with the seats filled to the brim, and we could do it in one trip. My synapses were firing off at the idea of moving in one go. Always the cautious planner, Lucy was apprehensive. But when I presented her with the idea that she does her half in two trips, she gave in and agreed to do it my way. The winter wasn't very harsh in our apartment area, but I didn't realize how bad it was around the area we were moving to. Some of the rural roads gave me a bit of trouble, the weight of our stuff not helping with the sharper turns that you never run into when driving in the city. There were a few close calls, but eventually I made it to the house. I got there first, which was worth a gloating text. I waited for Lucy to arrive. During the first hour, I figured she'd pulled over at a shopping area. There's a reason I called her a leaky tap with the number of bathroom breaks she took. After the second hour, I thought she might have been taking the road slow to avoid an accident. When 3 hours hit, I started to grow worried. None of my calls went through, and my texts were left unread. I didn't know if this warranted a call to the emergency services, so I was stuck in a limbo of not knowing what to do. All the while, the weather was ever getting worse. After 5 hours, I couldn't wait any longer and decided to call the police. I let them know of the situation, and they told me they'd keep me updated if they found anything. Then, all I could do was have a restless sleep alone in the cold new house. The day after, I looked outside, and my heart sank. Nothing. I was at a loss at what to do. I called my friends who lent us the trucks, and they said they hadn't heard anything from Lucy. I inquired with the police to see if there was an update, and they simply told me that if I wasn't contacted, then no. I tried to go about my business as usual, but my mind was fogged up with worry and anxiety. A whole day went past, and nothing came about. On the second day, I received a call. It was the police. They found her. A farmer took his tractor down some of the small rural roads just outside of town. Because he was driving slow enough, he noticed some red scrape marks on the edge of the road. This particular turn had a small bank that led towards the lake. Usually, there was a small barrier that you couldn't see due to the thin layer of snow. But when the farmer kicked the snow away, he realized it was gone. Once he let the police know, they immediately investigated and saw what happened. Lucy must have hit a patch of ice and gone through the barrier. They found the truck crumpled at the bottom near the lake. Lucy must have survived the tumble because she was found a ways away from the vehicle and crawled slowly out of the crash. However, she didn't make it far in the harsh cold of winter. The authorities determined that the truck was too top-heavy, and though she reacted in time, the weight pulled her too hard and took her over the edge. The barrier could have stopped her, but it snapped under the weight of the load. I had lost her, and it was my fault. Can life carry on after this? This was a question I contemplated alone, in a house I could no longer afford with a mix of half our stuff. Sure, I made a bad call, but it was from good intentions. If a higher being was watching, this was far too harsh a punishment. Let me off with a warning, hurt us, break our stuff, take me. But why her? It didn't take long to default on the house. The arrangement relied on both of us working hard to keep up with the mortgage. With her gone, and me too grief-stricken to work, I was quickly kicked out. Work only tolerated so much of my tardiness before they let me go too. So much happened around that lake, and the face of what killed my wife perfectly reflected in the water. A reminder of the life I should have had. I'd arrived with some rope and heavy stones in my car. My plan was to walk in with enough weight around my waist to still move but not float. Simply walk in and let nature take its course. I pulled everything out and checked YouTube to figure out the best knots to use. This is when I heard a scream. I paused the video and made my way over, apprehensive about what was across the way. Then I heard another scream, then another, followed by giggles. It was a family having a day out by the lake. I watched, curious about what was going on. The mother sat a ways away as the kids played by the water. It was pretty cold out, so the sister screamed every time the brother splashed some of the lake water at her. She acted like she hated it, but that was overridden by how much fun she had. The father was setting up a small grill next to a cooler full of food. This sight warmed me, but soon ran cold through my blood. That should have been me. This is where I wanted to raise a family. Lucy and I should have been here, right now, grilling food with our kids, maybe a dog, laughing together to build memories that would last a lifetime. Moments talked about in graduation speeches of our kids, thanking us for the blessed upbringing we planned all those years ago. This taste sat bittersweet in my mouth. Then, a voice ripped me from my thoughts.
Hey!
I jumped with a start, looking to see who it was. It was the brother, having noticed me in the shrubbery. This got the father's attention, who briefly stared at me before calling me over. At first, I wanted to refuse, but realized how weird it'd look if I was standing there, watching his family, then disappearing when caught. So, I bit the inside of my cheek and made my way over. "What are you up to, bud?" he asked me.
I'm parked just past the bushes. Came here by myself. Didn't expect anyone else to be here," I replied, hoping that was enough.
He looked at me for a second, thinking it over, then smiled. "Not many people come to the lake this time of year. Everyone says it's too cold, but not us. We love it."
"I see," I replied, letting the silence hang, before feeling it to make it not awkward. "I like your family."
As soon as I said this, I realized how weird it sounded, but the father chose not to take it that way.
"Thank you. You know, if you came all the way out here, you're more than welcome to stay with us. There's plenty of food to go around."
I tried to politely decline, but I relented after he insisted several times. So, there I was, now part of a nuclear family in the fringe of winter, having a barbecue with a pile of rocks and rope sat in my car just a few bushes over. I was introduced to everyone. There was Randall, the father. Susie was the mother. Bonnie was the daughter. And Ben was the son. They were the picturesque image of an ideal family, something that would complement the picture of the lake if another brochure was made of this area. I was riddled with small talk. We weren't familiar enough to let the silence hang, so questions were thrown about to fill the void. We went back and forth, but eventually, Susie brought up the one thing I hoped no one would.
"So, have anyone special in your life?" she asked with a wry smile.
"It's complicated," I muttered in response. She cooed at that, just shy of an elbow nudge of wanting to know more, but I didn't want to elaborate. When she couldn't get a peep out of me, she huffed and moaned but stopped pushing. Instead, Susie and Randall went through a charade of spitting out random bits of relationship advice, hoping to land on the answer.
"Something I've learned, son, is never to sit on a lie. Once they find out, it's 10 times worse than if you just told them," Randall shot out.
"Never go to bed on an argument. Sort it out before you sleep.
That always worked for us," Susie added.
"Always have at least one date a week. Even when you're busy with kids, you have to maintain the bond you have," Randall said with joy in his voice.
"Trust is the number one thing that makes or breaks relationship. Once it goes, it's tough to get back," Susie lectured. Everything hurt. Each thing brought up would bring up pain from the past. Conversations I'd had with Lucy, our ups and downs that we fought through to make things work. We'd both made mistakes, but saw past them to still be together. Our bond was too strong. This made the loss hurt all over again. This built up until I couldn't take it much longer. Just as I was about to reach my breaking point, I heard laughing coming from the bushes. Ben and Bonnie came running out. Bonnie was swinging a rope around, while Ben was throwing a rock around. Both parents immediately went to take it from them. While they ran off, my eyes just bulged at what they'd found. They were obviously too dangerous to play with. I heard Randall asking Ben sharply where he'd found them, and all he said was, "They were in the back of the car, just past the bushes." I hoped Randall would just reprimand Ben and Bonnie for rummaging in a stranger's car, but it was worse. He inspected the rustic, ominous-looking rope, looked at the size of the rock, and immediately thought the worst. His eyes flicked to mine, and I had guilt written all over my face. There was no doubt that they were mine. But what were they for, he must have thought. Randall approached while Susie stayed with the kids, telling them to stay back. Susie watched like a hawk while Randall stepped slowly closer. I was stiff as a board and made no attempt to move. "Hey, buddy, what were those things doing in your car?" Randall cautiously asked, slowly closing the distance. In a panic, I tried coming up with a good excuse. They're not for you, if that's what you're thinking. This very much made it sound like it was for them. Randall was losing faith in me each step he took, and fear flashed in my eyes when I saw his eyes flick at the knife on the edge of the grill. This could get ugly fast. I figured now would be the best time to come clean. "They're for me," I said. With that, he stopped. "What do you mean? Why?" he asked. I couldn't hold it in any longer. "She's gone." I couldn't finish the sentence without breaking down into tears. Susie immediately came over, and they both comforted me as I explained everything. When I was done, they both just stood there in silence, thinking over my tale. Randall sat down next to me, uncomfortably close, and sighed in thought. Susie reacted like she knew what he was thinking, almost like they were having a conversation with no words. I gave them all the time in the world, which they ate up. When enough courage was built, Randall finally piped up. "Bonnie and Ben, they ain't my kids." I looked at him in surprise. Without a word from me, he continued. "Susie was married before, but wasn't happy." Susie looked away in embarrassment at her life being exposed. "I had a sweetheart, but illness took her," he carried on. "Cancer," he added as he looked into my eyes. "We met 2 years ago and hit it off at this lake on a cold February morning." They looked at each other, but their expression changed to one of adoration this time. "We both came out to clear our heads with no big plan. When we both realized we were just hanging around here, we got to talking. We eventually spilled out about our lives, all the bad we were in, but realized it was something we had in common. So we agreed to meet up again and talk more," Randall said. "We realized when one story ends, a new one can start," Susie added. "Look," Randall chimed in, "we're all the protagonists of our stories, but just because a chapter has ended doesn't mean the story has. You just have to look for the next start." I just broke down and sobbed. When I finally stopped wailing, Randall looked at Susie and she nodded. For all my time since losing Lucy, I'd been trying to push hard with the life we wanted. A family-sized house, a well-paying job. This sounded like what I needed, but I never looked inward to see what I wanted. I never realized I needed to dial back and refresh my perspective. At the end of the barbecue, I said my goodbyes. I went back to my car to empty it, and realized I left the stuff that the kids had taken. When I turned around, nobody was there. The grass wasn't pressed down where the grill was, and the car was gone. The air was silent with the absence of giggling and play. The smell of smoky meat was gone. I took this as my sign to leave with the message they gave me, rather than trying to figure out what had just happened. My life ended at that lake today, but my new one will start tomorrow.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.